I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. The Raiders at home get the win. Raiders 17, Broncos 13. I really hope, Soto, that all your buddies who are Denver Broncos fans, you sent them a gif of a broom, because that's a sweep where we come from, baby.
I said I'm a FedEx, a piece of shit.
It's really weird, really, really weird game by the Raiders. It's a game we won with defense and rushing, which is not how we thought this team was going to be. Josh Jacobs, 27 carries, 129 yards. Other than a very, very costly fumble that cost us 3 points, he had his best game of the season. The first time he had over 100 rushing yards in a season, or this season. The Denver Broncos, get a load of this, averaged 1.1 yards per carry rushing. Melvin Gordon had 7 carries for negative 4 yards. The longest rush they had was 5 yards, a scramble by Drew Lock. Our terrible rush defense all season showed up today.
When we make a team one-dimensional, because trust me, like I said in the pregame show or the preview show, The Denver does not want to do this. They don't want to put the ball in Drew Lock's hands. Drew Lock threw the ball like 20-something times. That's way too much for Drew Lock. He's like one of those 15-17 attempts kind of guy. He threw the ball 22 times, and that's way too much. The issue was we lowered the box. They ran the ball, and they just couldn't get yardage. That was it for us. And it's going to be something similar next week, although Wentz is a much more dynamic passer. But as far as this game goes, this is what we needed to do. Challenge Drew Lock to beat us with his arm. And, he is who he is, and he couldn't do it because he's limited as a thrower in the NFL. And thank God for Drew Lock.
Yeah, Drew Lock, 15 of 22 for 153 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. That was what the game plan was, right? Like, but this was also the part, like, there's a really, really, there's been critical errors that the Raiders have had. Like, it's been part of their culture this season, right? Stopping the run, we've been terrible. Been absolutely atrocious. Even when we knew teams were going to run, we've played other backup quarterbacks. They were still able to generally run the ball. Holding the Broncos to 1.1 yards per rush is one of the best accomplishments we've done this season, even when we know what's coming, right? And like I said, Drew Lock is not good, but he didn't lose the game for him, right? He converted a couple, some big passes that he needs to here and there, not many. But just the way that our defense, even with, Denzel Perriam coming back from injury, Nate Hobbs being out, a lot of new faces on that defense. Today, best defensive performance of the season, I want to say.
I would say so. And there are some factors on both sides to make this happen. Number one, the players made plays. That's above and beyond anything else. They were missing their starting center. Whatever. We're missing people too. We got Hobbs back. Desmond Trufant is a little bit better in run defense than we give him credit for on the outsides. On the inside, switching out Diablo for Littleton was massive.
Yeah.
So having Diablo in there instead of Littleton, I think since Diablo has played, we've been a lot better against the run because we're going to need it moving forward for sure.
Broncos, this is how well the defense played. Do you want to guess their third down conversion ratio?
I'm not looking at it.
I'm curious what you think.
I think they were like maybe 1 for 11 or 1 for 10.
One for 10 on third down.
Yeah.
That's some great stuff. Basically, this defense, other than getting turnovers, this defense did absolutely everything we needed it to. stop the run, stop the pass, got kept our you know, our defense off the, you know, got off the field when they needed to as often as they could. The score obviously is Broncos 13. 10 of those points wasn't their fault, right? There was the pick six.
They gave up 10 points on 5 yards given up.
Yeah.
Jacobs fumbled. They gained 4 yards in the next three plays and kicked the field goal.
Yep.
Interception down to the one, and they scored a touchdown. It's like
basically a pick six. Yeah. They needed. Yeah. That was it. And they still got those 10 points from all under a minute to close out the first half. We made it even worse. Just when it rains, it pours. We were just a better football team all around. Every facet of the game, we were better other than turnovers. Just absolute fantastic performance by the defense. We'll get to our errors here, but I just want to make sure that we can't like give proper credit where credit is due on a defense that succeeded in what, and they did it doing Raiders defense. Like this wasn't, you know, they got, you know, 4 interceptions or 2 fumble recoveries and had turnovers be a real lucky part of it. Or, you know, got like, a, you know, 5 sacks or things like that. No, this is exactly how Gus Bradley's defense should be. Keep everything in front of you. Keep the big plays to a minimum. Not super aggressive. Not a lot of blitzing. Just steady pressure with your 4 down linemen. Sure tackling. And just keep everything in front of you. And just keep the big plays from being a problem. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, this was exactly the kind of defense that Gus Bradley designed.
Yeah, he did dial up a couple more blitzes. He blitzed a little bit more than normal. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, man, I am super impressed with our two young kids, with Diablo and Hobbs on the blitz. They are excellent blitzers. Diablo needs to learn how to break down a little bit when he pierces through the pocket. I think Drew Lock kind of give him a little shimmy, and Diablo just flew by him. But that'll come with experience. But man, this is when breaking tendencies really works in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
I think how many rushes does Jalen Richard have on third down? He has rushes because he had to go in and play, but I don't think he has maybe a handful, maybe 3 or 4 rushes coming into this game on third downs. So that was a breaking tendency. The formation that
he hits, and I understand why. Like he's not he's like the least bruising back guy, that we have, but he hits that hole so fast. Like Jacobs,
well, yeah, he's like trying to stutter. He's like, "Fuck it, go!" I'm gonna get
like,
what
he sees a hole, and he just went for it, and he converted a third down on the one carry that he got today.
The breaking tendency is the blitzing breaking tendencies. We broke tendencies and we blitzed not only on third down, we blitzed on earlier downs as well. And we set up a lot. We set up Drew Lock to have those obvious passing situations on third downs because we blitzed earlier in the drive, and it worked out for us. This is when we need to do that stuff. Break tendencies.
One last thing on the run defense. No Jonathan Hankins today for us. Who is it? Easily our best run stopping lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And still Denver only had 15 yards on 9 carries in the first half. 15 yards on 9 carries on what's supposed to be a good running team.
Well, the thing is like you make sure that, you know, I said it with the offensive line with Tom Cable. Hey, he used to grab every single one of those guys by the face mask and challenge their manhood. Like, dude, these guys are whipping your ass up front. You need to go out there and start be a man, go out there and just pick a guy and put him on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the defensive lineman, it's, hey, we've been kind of rough offensively the last few weeks. We need to step up. This is a team that's going to be one-dimensional, and we need to give our guys a chance to win. We don't have Edwards. We don't have Waller. We don't have who else was missing?
Ruggs.
No, Ruggs is gone, but I mean, guys that could play. Who's missing, right? We're missing a lot of pass catchers. So we need to go out there and we need to make this shit happen. We need to be the reason why we win, not the reason why we lose.
So the offensive side of the ball, Josh Jacobs, best game of the season for him, 27 carries, 129 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. So obviously this big error was a non-contact fumble to start as they're like, we're closing down the first half. And that was a big part of it. What is going on? Ah, damn it. All right. Raiders. I'm getting ransacked.
These Raiders.
Ransacked.
Go Rams.
Just slap dick out of here.
So, like, with Jacobs and that non-contact fumble, right? Like, he's running with it so out there, right? Giant credit. I give credit to Rich Bisaccia for being like, all right, you're going back in there. You're just going, you're going back. Like, you screwed up. We're going to keep you in there, and you're going to have a chance to make up for it, because he knows how Josh Jacobs is. Josh Jacobs, after that fumble, and then the first drive of the second half, right? The next drive after the next time on the ball.
Oh my God. Spit it out.
He got 56 yards rushing on that one drive.
Yeah.
He ran so hard. And that's a credit, because, like, some, you know, that's Rich Bisaccia and, you know, Olsen and the other, you know, running backs coach, and everybody's saying, like, okay, we know how this guy is. Like, some players, they have a big mistake and they cower. They're just like, oh, shucks, woe is me. Josh Jacobs is like, fuck that. I fumble like that, I'm getting back out there. And that's exactly what he did. And he had the best game of the season.
Fumble again.
That wasn't a fumble, although he's still like, that's something that needs to be, well, he was clearly down, but that's something that needs to be fixed. Because, like, he's been doing that more and more this season, just kind of running with the ball out more and more and not tucking it.
Dude, he had the ball like this, in his hand like this, and it hit his thigh. What are you doing?
Yeah. But he bounced back. And no, had the best game of the season.
I get it. He bounced back. With the talent that we have out on our team that's not coming back, we're not getting Drake back. We got a good running from Barber. The main thing is, like you said, he came back. And I want to be as positive as I can here. He came back. Let's hope that we can keep that going forward. Offensive line, great job, guys. Great job sacking up. And after he fumbled is when you really saw them. Jacobs didn't have to dodge guys at the line of scrimmage after that fumble. He had clear paths to run. He was running hard. He was breaking that first tackle. This is rookie Josh Jacobs that we saw today.
Derek Carr, 20 of 25. Another quiet game, obviously, because it was a big running game for us. Only had to throw the ball 25 times, 200 yards. Beautiful throw to Hunter Renfrow in the corner of the end zone.
Right,
great route, great catch, beautiful toss. And then a huge error, plus Bradley Chubb is, like, not human. That was basically a pick six. That was the big Derek terrible. Carr error. That was, again, that was a partly, you know, bad decision by Carr. Bradley Chubb jumped like 10 feet in the air, which was insane. And also kind of a predictable play call by Olsen, because it's like third down. There's like 20 seconds left. Like, that's what you run, right? You always call like a screen. You know, they're expecting, you know, a deep pass. Like, it was kind of a predictable play call. And I've been calling for more screens just to, like, get the pressure off of Derek Carr.
Not anymore after that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a combination of all those things. Bad decision. Bradley Chubb's insane and poor play calling. Basically turned essentially a pick six.
Yeah. It was a couple things. It was a very predictable, like you said, a predictable play call. Mm-hmm. Bad execution. Bad decision to throw the ball. Chubb didn't get cut at the line of scrimmage. He wasn't on the ground.
Yep.
He was in front of him. He saw him the whole time. That's why he lofted it, tried to loft it over his head. So he saw him there, and then he executed poorly. On his fumble, on Carr's fumble, it was the same thing. He had the room to step up in the pocket. He just did it. And, you know, again, there's always – not always, but most times when there's those mistakes made, even on a strip sack like that, there's things that you could do to protect the ball. But yeah, stepping up in the pocket was the reason why, or not stepping up in the pocket was the reason why Carr was able to be strip sacked. A couple of things that you said, we talked about before we came on air. This is like the bizarro game for the Raiders. You know, the defense stepped up. The defense was the reason that kept us in the game. We ran the ball well. We stopped the run, and we were able to overcome turnovers. Normally, it's not the case. We're not like the Ravens earlier against the Browns, where we talked about where Jackson threw four interceptions and they were still able to win. Well, we had three turnovers and we were still able to win. And it's a big testament to the heart of this team that they're not giving up. So hopefully we can clean some of that up, because heart alone is not going to get us anywhere close against the Colts, man. That's a good team.
Hearts and cojones. We'll get to the Colts here in a sec and the playoff pitcher as well. Also, guys, remember, like, comment, subscribe, chat with you guys.
Oh, yeah, that too.
things are getting fun, right? Winning record now, 8-7, back above 500 where we want to be. Two more games to go. We went out, I think, with like an 80% chance of making the playoffs. We went out. Even if we lose one, it's a maybe if everything falls accordingly. But honestly, all we got to do is take care of our business, right?
We're already in the playoffs, man. We were in the playoffs last week. We just had to keep winning.
Foster Moreau, good bounce back game for him because he's been pretty disappointing with Darren Waller out. I thought for sure, big, oh, wow, the world's going to learn about Foster Moreau and what a great tight end he is. And he's like, nah, he was kind of off those last few games. Good game for him. Four receptions for 67 yards. He also was responsible for getting a big defensive pass interference called against him, which kept a drive alive, a scoring drive alive for us at a 28-yard reception. That was really big as well. Foster Moreau, big. Hunter Renfrow. He is sneakily and crazily here in the last like month or so. He may break the most receptions record for the Raiders in a season. Like he's going to get
two games.
He's got two more games left. He's going to get at least to the second most easily. Hunter Renfrow.
He's three, right?
Yeah. Hunter Renfrow. Gonna pass up Tim Brown and Jerry Rice.
Hey, man. Wes Welker. Wes Welker had, 100 plus receptions for I don't know how many years in a row. And he was, they picked him up off the scrap heap from the freaking Dolphins.
Yep.
The Pats did. Pronouns, pal. So, I mean, he's a little bit more dynamic than Welker. He runs a little bit more of he's more of an Edelman type where he runs a little bit more of a deeper route tree. And he's not shying away from the spotlight, man. He's the guy now that that Carr looks to down the field more often, and he's coming through. I like the stop route to start the game. Very similar to how we started the last game. If you remember way back against the Broncos the first time around, the first play we ran was a stop route to Ruggs. Mm-hmm. Because they gave him that deep, that big cushion. We ran the same play, albeit to the other side, to Jackson, and he was able to get about 9 yards on that. We basically free 9 yards on that catch. So I like it, man. I like that we're being a little bit more dynamic with our play calling and using our strengths. It's about players, not plays, guys. The players have to be able to make the plays.
Well, especially with the type of defense specifically that's so execution driven, right? It's not schematically, it's schematically simple just to make, give players a chance to execute. Scary moment. Derek Carr sacked again and went to the medical tent for a little bit. It looked like a non-throwing arm injury. You saw him kind of like moving his shoulder around.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe like a left shoulder injury. The guy's brittle, but he's so damn tough, man. Didn't miss a single play. That was a third down sack. When the medical tent came back out. Is there anything
the second half?
Is there anything scarier for a Raiders fan than seeing Nathan Peterman warming up on the sideline? It's just like, oh, my balls just shrunk into my stomach. No.
Honestly, I wasn't too nervous because everything else had been going the opposite for us. We were running the ball, we were stopping the run, we were winning despite having a lot more turnovers. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it.
The only warm-ups I want to see Nathan Peterman do are handoffs. I just want him to warm up handing off. Take the snap. Hand it off. Take the snap.
Look, man, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but
because Mariota had COVID,
so we need to keep an eye on this Carr injury. Mm-hmm. He didn't do much throwing in the second half, especially after that injury. Hopefully, it's something that can get better and not worse.
Yeah,
because it's. Those shoulder injuries, man, they can be really tricky. When the inflammation sets in after a day or so, it can they can get pretty bad. I tore a labrum in my shoulder, and I didn't know I did it. I felt a little bit of pain, and the next day I couldn't move my arm. So we need to make sure keep an eye on that. Just like very similar to the Waller injury. Oh yeah, an IT band or whatever, like it's not a big deal. Like, no, that's a big
IT,
deal.
It was like, oh, it's a bone bruise.
That's no, dude, CBS the IT bone band bruise is a big deal, especially when it's down to the knee because it's a lot of connective tissue down there.
Yeah,
it's a big stability part. So that's why I said keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on this arm injury, depending on where it is, because it could get worse toward the course of the year, the course of the week. Excuse me, and that's dangerous for us.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure he'll be asked about it in the post-game presser when that gets going on. But the Raiders are so like tight-lipped with their injuries. Like they never explain what people's injuries are ever. It's always just like, oh, Darren Waller, it's like a knee back thing. They're all both.
More like a back of the knee thing. Yeah. You know, it's, we should, why don't we just do like hockey, man? Upper body, lower body. Lower. That's it.
I had it explained to me one time why they give specific injuries and why teams are they're forced to give injuries. It's because they don't want injuries to be turned into a black market injury information. So what that would be was like you'd have all these spies in different like locker rooms and medical facilities because other teams or gamblers specifically are trying to know what the injuries are. And so they're like, all right, screw that. We're just gonna make it all public information when people are like doubtful, you know, out, you know, whatever, you know, whatever designation they give them. It has to all be just out there information. It can't be secret because they don't want to turn into just like shady gamblers, just like getting all these inside scoops.
That makes sense.
So big picture, obviously now we're 8-7, 10 wins almost, you know, for almost for sure will get us into the playoffs. 9, even kind of a maybe, but decent results for us this weekend, pretty much. Browns, Ravens, Chargers, Steelers all lost. That all helps us. The one that hurt us was the
Colts.
The Colts, obviously. And then the Bills, Patriots. It was, you want one of them. You don't, it doesn't matter which one, but you want one of them to lose a lot of games, right? And so because the Bills had won over the Pats, or the Pats had won over the Bills, that loss kind of flipped things around. But all in all, pretty good situation for us. With the Browns, Ravens, Chargers, and Steelers losing. Really big one coming up with the Colts. That is a complete team. That's a team. If they had just like a slightly above average quarterback, they'd be like Super Bowl contenders.
Well, they do have a slightly above average quarterback. That's the thing. It's the Colts are the Broncos with the more dynamic, mm-hmm. better playmakers on the outside. T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr. They have a better running game. They have a better, good. I mean, Denver's got a good offensive line. The Colts have a better offensive line. Denver has, you know, a well below average quarterback, even if it is Teddy Bridgewater, the way he played this year. The Colts have an average quarterback. The defense is a lot better. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. They're like the Broncos are the Colts light.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, all the strengths of the Broncos have, the Colts have that. It's just a little bit better.
538 has the Raiders at a 17% shot to make the playoffs. But I just feel like everything's kind of going our way outside of, you know, obviously we got our win, which is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But everything else, it just feels like it's going our way, right? Like we got so many tiebreakers over everywhere. We basically play and have basically beaten everybody else in the wild card race, right? Like if the Dolphins win tomorrow, they'll be 8-8. We had the tiebreaker over them. Tiebreaker, obviously, over the Browns. We got to beat the Chargers to go 1-1 against them. If we beat the Colts, obviously, have tiebreaker over them. Tiebreaker over Ravens. Tiebreaker. You know, it's like the teams that beat us are like winning the division, right? Like Bengals and Chiefs, and you know, those guys are like, all right, they're out of the wild card race. They're just like going to the playoffs, winning divisions. All the guys that are in the wild card race, we've beaten almost everybody.
Yeah, I was just looking at the standings here. We're tied with Baltimore and the Chargers for that last spot. Mm-hmm. We lose out to the Chargers because they have a better head-to-head winning percentage because they beat us earlier in the year. And then the Ravens beat them, so the Ravens are now. Even though we beat the Ravens, we lost to the Chargers, and the Chargers lost to the Ravens. It's weird how that works. So the most important game in the overall scheme of things, we could still lose to the Colts and still make it in as long as the Ravens and the Chargers have the same record as us and we beat the Chargers because we beat both of those teams. But if we win both of those games, we're in. There's no doubt about it. There's no way we can't be in if we win both of those games.
So proud of this team, man, with all the shit they've been through this season. Like it's a time to be like proud as a Raider fan. Like the fact that we're like, all right, like we control our own destiny. Even if we go 1-1, maybe we can still make the playoffs. Just having this conversation, like all these, just looking down, like the teams we've beaten, the things we've accomplished. Sure. We've had some bad, ugly losses to the wrong teams.
Ugly stretches. Yeah.
But just like, and we all know what the story is, right? Rich Gannon, Henry Ruggs, all the injuries, you know, Denzel.
What happened with Rich Gannon?
or what did I say? I said Rich Gannon. John Gruden, right? Rich Gannon, like taking subtle digs at Derek Carr, right? It's like it just feels like this team had every reason to kind of pack it up and ho hum, like, all right, everyone out for themselves. Let's just worry about my contract next season. It never happened. Nothing we've ever heard out of that locker room or out of players' mouths has been anything but, I love this team. We can do this. We're coming together. We're going to work harder. And of course, after bad losses, you want to barf, like listening to that. You're like, fuck, just win. Like you sound, after a loss, everything you say sounds dumb. But the fact that it just felt like this team
is going,
rallied around and kept moving forward and trying to get better and do whatever they can to succeed, despite I can't think of a team in a season that's had to overcome as much as these Raiders. And here we are, 8-7,
still
two wins away from for sure going into the playoffs. First, you know, only the second time going to the playoffs in 20 years. If we go, even if we don't go, even if we lose the next two games, get blown out the next two games, like, hey, I am proud of what these Raiders have done under these circumstances.
I'm not. It's time to have expectations. And this team has not been good when there was expectations placed on them.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it. There was no expectations the first 3 weeks of the year. They were expected to lose the first 3 weeks. They weren't favored. And then, okay, now they're favored. Okay, now we're going against the Chargers. It's going to be basically a home game. And let's go ahead and make it happen. And we lost. And then let's, you know, go against the Bears. We should win. We should steady the ship against the Bears. And we lost. No expectations with Bis Sacha. We win a couple games. Oh, they're back in it. They're 5-2 off the bye. Expectations, take another dump.
Yeah.
No expectations against the Cowboys. Guess what? Boom, and we start winning again. No, we need to stop that whole proud of you win mentality. Fuck that shit. You need to go out there and win games. That's what this whole deal that we're doing here, it's about winning. It's not about giving yourself a pat on the back. It's not about being proud of somebody. Win the game. Now go out there and let's see what you got. You're not going to sneak up on anybody.
That needs to be the player's mentality. And I think
everybody's
it
mentality. Everybody.
My mentality doesn't affect how they play. I can feel good for a team that's overcome a ton of shit, right? I'm allowed to feel good for a team.
So you'll be okay if we miss the playoffs because if we go 9-8 and we miss the playoffs, you'll be like, oh, that was a good season, man. Good job, guys.
I'm going to be upset. I can be both. I can be upset we missed the playoffs and still be proud that a team that's had the entire season dragged through hell and back.
Why are we still talking about that?
It's still true.
Why are we talking about that? Okay.
It hasn't gone away, right? That's what I'm saying. What makes these wins taste better, right? These wins feel better because of what we've had to overcome to get here. It's part of the journey. And it's they're not using it as an excuse. I think the players are using it as excuses.
I don't think anyone can use that as an excuse anymore. I'm just tired of talking about it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of looking back about it.
I'm tired. I'm sick and tired that it happened. But every time I see fucking Dylan Stoner getting reps, I'm like, oh, where's Ruggs? Oh, yeah, that's where he is. Because we have
Ruggs' decision-making skills, he would have been on that COVID list at least 3 or 4 times the way he's going popping right now with his decision-making.
Well, that's the other part is like,
hang on a second. Ruggs, God damn it. You fucked up. I hope you're doing well, man. I hope you learned from this. Good luck to you, dude. No, I mean, I'm not going to shit on you, but just take care of yourself, man.
And that was the part that hurt, that made it feel weird, too, because he didn't have a reputation as, like, a piece of shit, or, like, a really bad decision maker.
But he did. He was. We just didn't hear about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Raiders. Above 500, 8-7, Raiders beat the Broncos, 17-13 for the completing the sweep, baby. We swept them last season, too, didn't we?
Yes.
Didn't we sweep them last season?
Yeah.
Four or five game win streak against the Broncos. That feels good.
On to the Colts.
That's the win. Now it's on to the next one.
We took care of one horse. We got to take care of the other horse now.
Yep. We rode that horse into the ground. We'll ride another one. All right, so we'll keep you updated on Derek Carr's injury, the full playoff situation, win-loss tiebreakers when, you know, week 16 games are over. Early next week, we'll be able to figure out all that kind of stuff. We'll have a regular Wednesday show as always. Nice Christmas gift. This is a great way to finish off Christmas weekend, man. I made it like a bandit. I got a Raiders hat. I got a Raiders shirt. I got a Raiders beer koozie. I got a Raiders nightlight. I got a Raiders polo shirt. I'm the easiest guy in the world to shop for. It's like, oh, RG needs a present, booze or Raider gear? Raider socks?
Raider socks. Look at these bad boys. These are comfortable as hell. These are super comfortable.
And they've got the good rubber soles so you can wear them.
Yeah, rubber soles. I can't wear them inside for too long, dude. I can't wear them inside for too long because my fucking feet get sweaty. But outside, those are money.
Ah, wonderful way to end Christmas weekend. All right, until next time. Knock on wood if you're with me.